In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 242. John Senecal, Brian Shackman. We're going like rapid freaking fire here because we got to get out of here. But I didn't even know, by the way, we'll get to the Yankees and the Red Sox. I didn't know that the apple pie was gone from
not
McDonald's.
Not just the apple pie. Yeah, McDonald's. Like the one that you
the
burn
one that
your mouth
in the
on?
Sleeve. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
It looked like burn victim skin.
But I didn't know it was gone. Why was it
it's
gone?
It's been gone for 30 years. I have no idea, but I remember legit like 30 years ago, annoyed by it, and then like I blinked and was like, dude, that was 30 years ago.
We're so freaking old.
Because the new one sucks. Like, I actually got one because I was so hungry for, and it was like on sale. I don't know what it was, but it was like 2 months ago I got one, and I had like two bites of it. Like, it was awful.
Really?
It's like the pastry kind of thing. It's like foo-foo, you know what I mean?
We loved those. I mean, honestly,
the
like
old ones.
Oh my gosh, they were so good. So good. And like, you knew it was fake as all get out, but
June
it did
23rd,
not matter. Yeah.
Limited time only.
I'm going to have to listen. My son Bennett, he's the only one home right now, and he loves McDonald's. So I think I might have to hit that. I had no idea it was gone. That shows you how my McDonald's history is now pretty thin. Listen, I've done a ton of stuff. We actually had the guy on from the Boston Globe who wrote that great article about the Scots drinking all the beer in Boston.
Yeah.
And so like on our radio show on WTIC News Talk 1080, we've talked about it a ton. For me, I think Boston is an amazing city, but as a population, it kind of sucks because all these people come in from other parts of the country now and live there, and real estate prices are super high, and it just doesn't, listen, it's not as racist as it used to be, which is good, but it's not as edgy as it used to be, which is bad. Like, I think the Boston accent in 20 years is going to be gone.
Yeah.
So like the fact, and just bear with me here, the fact that Boston could be fun in an old school way, like people drinking their faces off, but no one getting killed.
Yeah.
I think is phenomenal. Like, I just have absolutely adored every single video that I've seen.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive because
you've been there, right?
Oh yeah, I've been there, and I was on the planning side of it because like that's part of one of our clients.
You represent the Tartan Army?
No, not the Tartan Army, but Boston 2026. So we were. You know, all leading up to this, wondering what is going to happen, right? Like everybody else, you don't know how everything's going to go. Like, and there's so much logistics involved, but it's been a slam dunk. I mean,
what stuff are you planning? Are you the ones that reserve the booze cruise for the Scots?
No,
like, what are you
like
doing?
The actual Boston 2026, the fan club, downtown stuff, all of that stuff, like that we're involved in all of that, the PR for all of that. So, like, we're not directly involved with the actual stadium stuff, but we're down there for events. But still, like, you know, you're always on pins and needles until it actually happens. Watching it and watching them around the city and being at the Red Sox game, I wasn't at the game where they had everyone there, but I was at one where there was a lot of them, and I sat next to them and I talked to them, and you get to feel for what it's like. You know,
how did they do the one where everyone was there? Did they just buy up tickets on the private market and it just happened that way?
Yeah,
it's insane. There must have been 10,000 of them.
It was insane. Like, I mean, and the way they marched there, and like how far they marched, and just how it happened, and if that was like Americans or whatever doing it, it would have been an absolute disaster. They would have gotten there would have been a line, everyone would have been pissed, and
been a fight.
It would have been a disaster. And just like when they cleaned up after themselves and left piles, and like the sanitation workers and the city workers were like, this place looks like it like better than what they left it.
So what I love too is, sorry to interrupt you, is that some of the bar owners or the you would think would have a hair up their ass about stuff, and they didn't.
Best time they said ever since they've owned, some of them own those businesses for 20, 30 years.
Triple
St. Patrick's Day. Boston Lager Tap Room ran out of beer, as did like six other establishments. But at the same time, they're interviewing these bar owners and they're like, they have never been more happy. The energy is insane. The positivity is insane.
It's all positive.
And there's nothing, and there's, you're not hearing anything bad.
Right.
There's none drunken idiots or, you know, they're drunken idiots, but they're not doing dumb things.
The guy who wrote the article said they're clearing out all the beer except they're not drinking IPAs, and which I found fascinating, but it makes total sense. If you're going to drink from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m., you can't drink an IPA.
No.
And, you know, you need
I
to be going.
I think IPAs are gone anyways. They're running out.
They've run their course.
Yeah, you know, the seltzers are coming after them. Yeah, and the non-NAs, dude. The NAs are crazy now. The non-alcoholic is huge.
It is. Yeah, I still haven't embraced. I'm just drinking less beer, to be quite honest with you. And stuff like transfusions and stuff. Like, I don't like the regular Truly seltzers are garbage, but there's some better stuff out there that has real legitimate alcohol that tastes. Because you know what? I don't want to feel like I'm 400 pounds. You know what I mean? I don't. And I know you don't drink, but
it's crazy though. Like at the game I was at Fenway, we were sitting next to a couple, and they were clearly. You know, they're retired, they're older. It was just him and his wife. And they were great. You know, you can barely make out every third word they're saying.
Of course.
But they're so happy. And he gets up in like the third inning to go and get beers and food. And he's like, all right, where's the bathroom? And my friend next to me go, oh, down the stairs and to the left, whatever. And he gets up and leaves. And I looked at his wife and I go, there's a pretty good chance he might not come back. And she laughs and I go, I'm not kidding you. So... literally, like, two innings later, I go, he's not back yet. He comes back in, like, the bottom of the seventh inning. And he comes up, and this is great. And everybody's, you know, it's scattered with Scots and you know, the normal Red Sox fans and everything. And he walks up, and he holds up one hand. He has two beers, and he's like, $42! And he holds up his other hand. He's got, like, a hot dog and something else. And he's like, $11.50! And he goes, y'all a bunch of crooks! And the whole place just goes nuts. It was awesome. It was great.
So a quick story. I've told it on my radio show, but I went to the World Cup in 98 in France. I covered it for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette before I moved to Connecticut. And... that's the last time Scotland played in the World Cup. And they were terrible. They lost all three games. They were out, just like the U.S. was in that one. And we had one night where we drank with the Scots all night. And at the end, we were piss drunk. And at the end of the night, this guy I had been talking to for 2 hours, he takes this little booklet out of his pocket and said, my son gave this to me. I want you to have it. And what it was a miniature book of Robert Burns' poetry, and he's the most famous poet from Scotland, and it's in my sock drawer. I still have it 28 years later.
That's great.
And the thing I love about the World Cup, and listen, I can't stand FIFA. I don't like the politicization of a bunch of stuff, but I will say, like, other countries coming here and enjoying America has done two things for me. One is it reminds me of what's actually still great about this country, and that people can, the freedom is, and I'm not a freedom, yay, America freedom. Yep. You know me, I'm not a gun guy or a flag in my back of my pickup truck guy, but like we take a ton for granted.
Yep.
And number two is it's still aspirational for other people. They love being here.
Yes.
They just love it. And whether it's going to the rest stop and being able to buy anything they want or just whatever,
yeah.
I love hearing them talk about how much they love being here.
Yeah, they thought Providence was right around the corner from Foxborough. They were like, it wasn't a big deal. They were staying in Providence. So where are you staying? Providence. And then we're getting on a plane going to Miami to watch the next round.
It's just incredible.
Great.
And a buddy of mine was on a flight home from London to New York, and he said it was full of Scots people coming for this week's games. And he just said,
Boston's buzzing, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. John Senegal, Brian Shackman here. Episode 242 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You want to start quick with Yanks? The Yanks, I think the story is how good they are without Judge.
Yeah, so the second best record in baseball in June, and that's basically since they've lost Judge. They were 9-4 going into Thursday night's game, which they lost late because they choked the bullpen, which...
How are they doing it?
They're doing it with Paul Goldschmidt, Cody Bellinger, good pitching, and speed. I mean, the Yankees are so much better without Giancarlo in the lineup. Jason Dominguez is back the last four or five games. They're much better. They're much faster, more dynamic. It's going to be interesting if Giancarlo, who's hurt, does come back at any point because it's just... They don't need him. They just don't need him, regardless of how many home runs he can hit. They do need Judge back, obviously, and you're not going to hear a thing until another couple weeks. Believe it or not, it's almost been 3.5 weeks.
That's crazy how fast it goes.
Yeah, it does go fast. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, the Yankees are playing great. They got the Reds coming in. They just, you know, they mopped around the White Sox pretty good. They got the Reds coming in, and obviously, you know, a tale of two teams. Yankees going one direction. The Red Sox still floundering, bad defense, losing games late, just no energy and just...
Yeah,
just,
I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I want to ask one thing. You're basically saying trade deadline is relief pitching, and is there enough in the system that they can spare to get what they need?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, they're not going to trade Joe Lombard. He just got injured in the minors, so he's going to be on the IL for a little bit, I believe. You know, Mike Trout just went down, so that changes the whole trade market, even if he was going to be involved. But yes, the Yankees need bullpen help. I would try to look maybe adding a bat, but they definitely need the bullpen. That's the main concern right now.
So let's talk about the Red Sox. You know, I want to spin the conversation forward, and we know they suck. We know they're a 4A team and they're listless and they don't put the ball in play. Like, I mean, it's just, and it's not Tracy's fault. And they quietly fired the guy who runs that hitting data place. They quietly got rid of him. And I don't even want to get into that. I want to talk about two things. Number one is I looked at the numbers from the CNBC franchise evaluations. I think they're the third or fourth most profitable team in baseball. And to me, I don't understand. And we talk about the tourists and the pink hats, and I'm not going to get into that crap either. We know why they still fill the stadium. I'm not going to tell people who listen to this podcast stuff we said 100 times. But I don't know why there isn't some sort of movement to boycott the team. Like, I forget about like t-shirts to for Henry to sell it or whatever. Like, and maybe it's because the tourists and the pink hats are enough to fill it. But like, people should be protesting this. It is that egregious. I mean, honestly, when you think of their revenue, they're worth at least $5 billion. They'd probably sell for $7 billion. They're the third or fourth most profitable team in baseball. There should be a movement, a political movement against this team, I swear to you. That's number one. Number two is, and this is something you can react to if you don't want to react to the first one, is everyone says, oh yeah, let's be sellers. Then I look at things, who do they have that anybody wants? Like, who? Abreu hasn't hit. I love him, but he hasn't hit. Is Contreras the only guy who's got value? Like, who do they have? A Chapman maybe, but I don't know. He pitches every 2 weeks and now you don't even know what he can do. You know what I mean? It's like...
It's true. It's true. Those are the two you said, but Contreras and Chapman. You know, I don't even know like what's cranking in their minors as far as what
well,
they can
do. Well, Duran, no one's going to take him.
No one wants minor league players at trade deadline.
No, they want players who can help them right now. So I just think that anyone who thinks they're going to restock for some future prospect who's going to be a star, they have garbage to give away.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at maybe a team like, you know, that could need a player like Duran that could say, well, maybe it's a change of atmosphere that he needs because he's just...
Yeah, but what are you going to give up?
Who knows? You know, people always take chances on players, but you're 100,000% right. There should be more stink against the Red Sox, but I think they're getting a little bit of leeway right now because there's a lot of buzz in Boston. There's been, you know, the NBA is finally done. This World Cup will drizzle out. And once August comes around, the real dog days of summer, you're going to see, you know, like what... Are the real fans going to show up? And then you'll notice it because it's going to be a boring, lame atmosphere in there watching terrible baseball. And maybe the true fans will start a movement and start. They're bashing them bad on radio up there.
Yeah, right. I haven't been tuning in.
No, they've been crushing them. They're calling for Breslow's head. They know the team sucks and they know it was bad constructed. But yes, they do have some injuries, which always suck. But they were bad before the injuries.
Yeah, they weren't going to be good. Did you go to Fenway this week?
Yeah, I was at Fenway on Tuesday night. I think it was Pride night, and then the last of the Scots were floating around.
Do you get the tickets through Regan Communications?
Or I got my tickets through a guy I work with, his friend.
Because you're always in a different spot.
Yeah, though. I was in center field. A positive thing to say about the Red Sox, Fenway Park, I hate it. I bash all the time, but I finally got the set dead center field bleachers. It was like section 34, like third row.
Yeah.
It was great. See pitch location. The only thing you couldn't see is the ball off the dead center field wall.
So my thing about Fenway, you can't see things up close, but if you can't be close, the bleachers are so much, and they're enjoyable.
And the seats are more comfortable. They're not wooden.
And just it definitely has a more chill vibe. You don't have these 75-year-old dudes who've been there for 50 years or worth $25 million or pissed that you're walking by. You know what I mean? Like, no offense. But
different
like,
vibe, yeah. And you do have to worry about the sun. We were lucky. We were off to the side, so the sun had already got us. But the guys, the fans in right field were getting crushed. And I'm sure a day game would be more rough, obviously. But I'll take comfortable seats any day in that view over that behind-the-plate experience.
Nice off. Work. Listen, tight. Awesome. Anything else on your mind?
Just keep on mind. Baseball labor is, there's more shots being fired. The MLB is talking about eliminating high school players out of the draft as part of the proposal, which is going to change the college landscape.
Why would they want to do that?
Well, they're looking to go straight international draft, and they don't want 18-year-olds going into the pro ball. They want them to do like what the NBA was trying to do, right? Send them off to college for a couple of years.
What's the reason? Because
I think a lot of it's posturing, and you know, there's all sorts of different layers, but money slotting and just player development and just pushing back at the union and trying to get something to bargain with. You know how union negotiations go. You always ask for everything, and then you act like you're giving back.
No, I know, but I just don't understand what the what the positive and negative is for either side.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think it's too long for the conversation and the time we got. But
we'll
pick
that up next week.
It's something to look at because they're, unlike 1994, you're not going to get a strike, so Major League Baseball will end this year, but if there's a lot to sort out. So it's not looking good going towards spring training. So everyone should just keep that in mind as you watch this season unfold.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.